We wanted like the drum solo at the end, like kind of thing. Wow, how y'all doing? Good. You ready to make some waves this morning? All right, pretty good, pretty good. Hey, we are, how many of y'all excited about summertime starting up? Like it's finally summer, you ready to go? All right, maybe not. You're like, dude, it's Florida. It's been summer since February. That's, you know, maybe not the case. I just, what? Okay, I got a thing on my face, all right? You may not notice, but, sorry, Chris, you're like, what's going on with your face kind of thing? I don't know, maybe not. All right, I'll just get it out there. Brody challenged us last week with this whole make waves thing. He's out on his surfboard, so I decided to go out to Pine Island, do some surfing. I got in a fight with a dolphin. This is what happens. Okay, that's not really what happened, but it's a lot more exciting than the other story, which is I got some face cancer and had to have it cut off. So that's really what happened. Wear sunscreen, by the way, since it's summertime. You want to do that. So make waves. I want to, I don't know if you guys have been excited about this series or not. We announced it last week, but I'm super excited because right now, all around our campus, there's preschoolers, elementary. They're going through the same content that we are. They're learning about the same kind of stuff. So if you're a parent, a grandparent, if you got kids around here that you know, you're rubbing shoulders with them, you can just kind of say, hey, what did you learn today? How you doing with your memory verse? And it all is kind of going to go together as we learn these things as a group, and I'm just excited about that. I hope you are too as well. Now, I want to go ahead and get the jump on all the other preachers that are going to get up here, all right, through the month. So I'm looking at y'all. The first service killed this, and I had no idea this was going to go so well. But I want to know if you guys can do the wave. Can you guys make a wave this morning? You're not excited about it? Oh, thank you, Tim. Yeah, like one of these kind of things. I don't know. When you're at the Rays game and you're like, hey, oh no, they're doing the wave. Like now I got to, look, you don't have to stand up. You don't have to, you know, do anything, but y'all have it in you? Can you do it? I don't know. I'm not so sure. All right, all the way up in the back. Let's start over here. All right, let's see what you got. All right, you ready? You good? All right. And this is a great way to start a sermon. Ready, set, go. Let's see it. All right, okay. By the time I got over there, they're like, we waving this joker. All right, that's awesome. Let's start with you guys. Let's try it again. Ready, set, go. I like the woos. Like, I don't even know what to kind of expect there. Awesome. All right. I don't know if this is going to happen next week. Linwood's going to talk, but if there could be a challenge between first service and second service, real easy, all right? Can make this kind of a fun thing. But these aren't the kind of waves we're talking about. I mean, we're not talking about just, you know, ocean waves. And, you know, I grew up near the East Coast where, you know, surfing was a way of life. You go over there, kind of hang out in Daytona, Ormond Beach, you know, New Smyrna, those kind of places. Pretty cool. We love the waves here. Maybe the weekend is a time for you to go out on your boat. You're doing some tubing. And I know some of y'all, man, you get out on that thing and it's like, I'm going to make some waves. And you just crank that motor up and just go. And all of a sudden, everybody around you is going, oh, no. You know, that kind of thing with the wake. You know, we know what waves are when it comes to water. One of my favorite things to do when I was a kid and still today, in fact, just a few weeks ago, my grandkids and I, we went out to this, out near Arapica. There's this really cool place there's some rocks out there with a big lake. I don't know if you know where that is. Anyway, the first thing they wanted to do was to throw rocks into the water. Right? Why? Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it makes way. That rock, poosh, right? It makes a splash, and then you see the ripple going all around. You know, and we talk about making waves, especially during this series. What we're talking about is that we literally can change the world today by the things that we do. The things that we do today can make a splash. They can send ripples. When we take the time and energy to do what we were created to do, interrupt our lives, do things that, you know, it's just like, it causes a ripple effect. It makes waves. The things you do today can change the world around you. Do y'all believe that? This is positive and negative when you think about it. I don't know if you realize how badly the world that you live in and I live in needs changing sometimes. You read the headlines, right? Anybody else's heart just break, like shatter over the last couple weeks. So we pray for the parents and the grandparents and the students' families out in Texas and Oklahoma and Buffalo and other places. Man, it's just that is a case where somebody evil has made waves. What you do today matters. We pray and we just understand that our world does need change. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, it begins by us really understanding that all human beings were created in the image of God. Every single person that God has ever made is valuable. This is where dignity of life, sanctity of life comes in. You see, if you understand that every human was created in God's image and worthy of God's love, then you don't shoot people. You don't lie to people. You don't murder. You don't steal from other people. We love them. We honor them because they're created in God's image. And God proved this is true by sending his one and only son to show us the best way to be human. Clint nailed it on the, man, this is what God did for us. Came from heaven to earth in the flesh and lived a perfect life before our eyes, died as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross and rose again to prove that he was God. You talk about making waves. And after Jesus ascends and goes back to heaven, he knows that we're going to need help to make the kind of changes in our lives and in the world that we were created to. So he sends us the Holy Spirit himself. And the Holy Spirit in us produces fruit in our lives, produces fruit that point to Jesus, the perfect human, and produces fruit in our lives that ultimately, if we live them out, will cause change in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's a place in the Bible in Galatians chapter 5. Maybe you're familiar with it. You've heard this before. How many of y'all know where the fruit of the Spirit? You've read this before, kind of thought about it. All right, well, this is what's happening again with all of our kids and right here in this room is we are going to learn and memorize this verse. Is that okay with you guys? Y'all got it? All right, maybe you know this already. So let's just go ahead and jump in right now. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We're not going to, each week we're going to get into a different element of this, but let's stand together. All right, let's stand and let's see if we can say this together as a family. All right, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. All right, ready, set, go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And Paul goes on to say, against these things there is no law. These things are perfectly legal to do. And they make waves in our lives. Let's try it again. Ready, set, go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, can y'all just see how if we allow the Spirit to grow these things in our lives, it would change. If we actually live this out, change the world around us. Go ahead and have a seat. Give you guys a hand. Give each other a hand. Great job. We're going to learn these. I already grabbed my grandson this morning and said, hey, did you learn the memory verse? It's worth like 100 expedition bucks. Now, we don't have expedition dollars in here, all right? But maybe we can, Bob, you want to grab some? Maybe we can pass those out as rewards. Let's just not let the kids make us look bad, all right? Let's learn this verse together. We'll be able to do it. Well, today we're going to talk about one specific fruit mentioned in that passage. Anybody want to guess what it is? Yes, the fruit of love. Ooh, man, how y'all feel? Now, some of y'all are the fruit of love, but that was the last sermon series. We're not going to talk about that now. When you hear what do you think of when you hear the love? Like, you think of a favorite song? Anybody? Favorite song? You can throw it out there. What, Love Shack? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Maybe a love story, a favorite movie, you know, going back. Yeah, maybe a poem. How many of y'all have written love poems to maybe the person next to you at some point in your life? Huh? I know we still, Lisa and I have saved a bunch of ours from when we were younger. We don't do that anymore. No, we do. But y'all, right? Love, it's a pretty cool thing. Even the world would agree. Even a world would agree that love changes things, that love makes a difference. In fact, there's songs that says, all we need is love. Love is all we need, right? That's what it means. But what does the Bible talk about when it actually talks about love? Like love the way that we created to love, the love of God for us and the love of us for God. What does that actually mean? Love that makes waves. Well, I want you to take a few minutes and watch this video from the Bible Project. It's going to set the table for the rest of our message, especially as we lean into 1 John chapter 4 today. 1 John 4, so you can turn there in your Bibles as well and watch this video and see just what we mean when we talk about biblical love. Check this out.
So if you've heard of Jesus, you probably know about one of his famous teachings called the Golden Rule. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. And this, actually, is a restatement of something else that Jesus said, that the meaning of life is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's really beautiful, but what does he mean exactly by the word love? It's an unclear word in English, because you can love your mom and you can love pizza. And if the word love means the same thing in both of those cases, your mom's gonna feel real bad. So what did Jesus mean in his language? Well, first of all, this love your neighbor phrase is a quotation from the Hebrew scriptures, where the word for love is ahava. However, the language Jesus spoke and taught in from day to day, it was a cousin language of Hebrew, that is Aramaic, in which the word for love is rachma. But then, as Jesus' followers spread his teachings around the world, they translated them into Greek, using the word agape. But here's what's fascinating. The earliest followers of Jesus, who wrote the books of the New Testament in Greek, they didn't learn the meaning of agape by looking it up in ancient dictionaries. Rather, they looked to the teachings of Jesus and the story of his life to redefine their very concept of love. So one time, Jesus was asked about the most important command in the Jewish scriptures. And he first quoted from the ancient prayer in the Torah called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So love for God is the most important thing. But then Jesus quickly followed up by saying another command from the Torah was also the most important, to love your neighbor as yourself. So which is the most important, loving God or loving your neighbor? Jesus' answer is yes. To ask the question means you don't get his point. For Jesus, they are two sides of the same coin. Your love for God will be expressed by your love for people, and vice versa, they're inseparable. And so this makes it clear that for Jesus, agape love is not primarily a feeling for someone else that happens to you, like our phrase, I fell in love. For Jesus, love is action. It's a choice that you make to seek the well-being of people other than yourself. Jesus also went on to teach that genuine love for God and others means seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return, especially from people who are in difficult situations, who can't repay you even if they wanted to. According to Jesus, this kind of generous love reflects the very heartbeat of God. And he took this even further. Jesus said that the ultimate standard of authentic love is how well you treat the person that you can't stand. Or in his words, you shall love your enemy and do good to them, expecting nothing in return. For Jesus, this kind of enemy-embracing love imitates the very character of God himself. Now, we wouldn't be talking about Jesus still today if he had only said things like love your enemy. This is how he actually lived. Jesus was constantly helping and serving the people around him in very practical and tangible ways. And he consistently moved towards poor and hurting people who couldn't benefit him in return. He showed love for the forgotten ones, the people who usually fall through the cracks. And when Jesus eventually marched into Jerusalem, he made himself an enemy of the leaders of his people by accusing them of hypocrisy and corruption. But then instead of attacking his enemies to overthrow them, he allowed them to kill him. Jesus died for the selfishness and corruption of his enemies because he loved them. After Easter morning, Jesus and then his followers claimed that it was the power of God's love for the world that was revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As the Apostle Paul put it, God demonstrated his own agape for us in this: while we were still sinners, the Messiah died for us. Or in the words of the Apostle John, God's own agape was revealed when he sent his one and only Son into the world so that through him we could have life. And for John, then, this leads naturally to the conclusion, beloved ones, if that's how God has loved us, then we ought to show love for one another. So Christian faith involves trusting that at the center of the universe is a being overflowing with love for his world, which means that the purpose of human existence is to receive this love that has come to us in Jesus and then to give it back out to others, creating an ecosystem of others-focused, self-giving love. And that's the New Testament meaning of agape love.
Yeah, isn't that good? So good, so good. Agape, you know, that word's used over 200 times in the New Testament. You know, God has something in mind when he uses that word. In fact, it's amazing when you think about how we can apply that and how it's just like a rock when you throw it into the water and it can send ripples into the world around us. That's what happens when we start to love God loved us, a love that takes action, a love that seeks the best for other people. Agape love. You know, one of the many biblical writers that explain agape extensively is the Apostle John. John did life with Jesus. He was called the disciple that Jesus loved. And at the end of the New Testament, he writes three different letters in the book of Revelation. So John gives us an idea. It's just incredible how many times he mentions it. You'll see this in a second. 1 John chapter 4 is what we're going to look at today. As we look at 1 John itself, understand this is a poetic writing. It's something that John wrote. The Holy Spirit gave him the right to a group of Christians, maybe a family or a house church that was trying to understand how to live this love out in their everyday life. There's quite a bit of background there. You can check that out. But 1 John is just, you'll see, he zeroes in on what biblical Christ-like love looks like. And he encourages them, just as he encourages us today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm gonna start out by just reading the passage to you and allow God's word to speak to you this morning. I'm gonna read from the New International Version. So if you have that, you can follow along. If not, you can too. But I would just recommend right now in this moment just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's word. All right, so let's just take a deep breath together. Prepare our hearts and our ears. Our minds. We discover the love God has for us. 1 John 4, 9 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Kind of hard to miss, isn't it? How many times does John mention agape love in that passage? It's almost like he's saying, get this, get this, get this. And it is an amazing revelation to us when we understand and look closer at what John is actually saying, what he is writing to us and for us. And then notice the waves that can be made when we begin to live this kind of love out in our own lives. And it's really simple. In fact, it's so simple, it's like stupid. Like, this is like, this hard to miss. Take a look at this process. Love is from, help me out, God, right? God is love. This is where it starts. God is love. Love is from God. Number two, by his spirit within us, God changes us from the inside out. And then God's love through us changes the world around us. God's love in us changes the world around us. How simple can it be? It's crazy. But yet here we are, we kind of get hitched, you know, like what? If we want to make waves in our lives, we want to figure this out in our own way, in our own way. So this is where we want to go. We're going to go straight back to these words. Check this out. What does John say first and foremost about God in this passage? God is what? Love, right? Most important thing. This is where it starts. Love is from God. He is the initiator. God is the one. This is where love begins with. It's where he comes from. God is the wave maker. He is the love life changer, the world changer. All love comes from God. God is love. Look at what John says about agape here, just in these verses. Verse 7, love is from God. He's the source. Verse 8, God is love. It's his character. It's who he is. God cannot not love. We got to get this. And that love takes action. That's what God did. In fact, it says in verse 9, the love of God was made manifest. It was made known. It was revealed in us. Verse 9, God had sent his only son. God took action. He sent his son into the world that we might live. Verse 10, God loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Agape love. Verse 11, God so loved us, he said, the Father has sent his son. He took action again to be the savior of the world. We need saving. God sent his son to be the savior of the world. God is love, verse 16. God abides in us. You talk about intimacy. He didn't just send his son into the world. He sent himself into us. That is crazy to me. God is the initiator of love, and we love because he first loved us. If we allow our minds to just understand, man, that Jesus came to live and show us God among us, man, God among us, but he also sent his spirit to be God within us. This is God's idea. The Bible Project, love how they say it. The God of the Bible doesn't just express love. God is love. As a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, he has always been and always will be an other-centered, self-giving, communal being. And Jesus fully embodies the love of God. And he demonstrated that love most clearly when he gave his life on behalf of humanity on the cross. So when people learn to trust Jesus's love for them, they then join in God's community of life and love, and their very nature is transformed to live a life of love with him. God loves you, loves me. He loves you. Do you believe that this morning? Look, this is not a question mark. This is an exclamation point. God loves you. All right, so help me out. Just forget about everybody else in the room and just say this with me. God loves me. Say it again. God loves me. God loves me. Y'all really mean that? Are you sitting there going, oh, God loves me? Like, not me. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know the things I've said, the people I've hurt, the road I've been on. Look, this is not about you. God's character is love. He loves you no matter where you've come from or where you've been. His love is real. He loves you because he cannot not love you. It's who he is. And God longs to be loved by you. He longs to love you, to have you to know him and to embrace that love. And when we get this, it is literally life-changing. His love changes us from the inside out. Again, back to 1 John 4, whoever loves has been born of God. We understand this love, we're reborn again. It's born of God and knows God. This is a term of intimacy. It's a term of change. We know God and he abides in us. He literally comes to live in us and his love is perfected in us. You see, he changes us, abides in us, perfected in us. He has given us his spirit, life-changing spirit. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he abides in God. So yes, we confess the name of Jesus. We give our lives to him. We're baptized. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. Man, this is life-changing, world-changing stuff. Verse 16, we've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. If you're in 1 John 4, you can underline that, highlight that. We're not just talking about it. No, God loves you. Believe in the love that he has for you. Because whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In the same way, y'all, in the same way that God took action to love us, God's love takes action in us. His love makes waves in us, transforms us, changes us from the inside out. God took the initiative to love. He sent his son to die to prove that love. And when we embrace and live in the love that he has for us, man, it's perfected in us, John says, verse 17. This love is perfected with us. We have confidence on the day of judgment. If you're afraid of judgment, love drives out fear, verse 18 says. There is no fear in love. This is the love that God has. It's a life-changing love, the kind of love that changes us to not fear anymore, to not be afraid of judgment or punishment. I love the way Richard Rohr says it. He describes this wave-making, life-changing impact of God's love in our lives. Listen, it says, believers who experience a full-bodied embrace. Put yourself there. Acceptance by divine love will spend their lives trying to verbalize and embody it. They will invariably find ways to give that love back through forms of service and worship. But it's never earning the love. It's always returning the love. It's never earning the love. It's always returning the love. We don't worship and serve and those things to get God's love. He loves you. We serve and we worship to return the love back to God. Rohr goes on, he says, can you feel the difference? Can you feel the difference between trying to earn God's love and return God's love? Returning God's love is almost always a different language because it's not based in fear. It's based in ecstasy, joy. When we truly understand and live in the ecstasy of God's love for us, Listen, it is life-changing. The waves spill out of us and into the world around us. It's why we have gathered here this morning. I hope you're not here out of obligation or out of fear or because you're going to get punished one day in judgment day. No, we come to worship together as the body of Christ, to return the love of God as the body of Christ. There's no better place to be than here on Sundays, worshiping together. And when we leave this place to serve together, when we give of our tithes, our offerings, we give out of returning to God. All of this seems to start making sense when we start to live and embrace the love that God has for us, not to get his love, but because we have received his love. And then we live to love like God loves us. And that is world-changing stuff. It's from us into the world around us. That's how God's love changes the world. God loves us. His love changes us, and then through us, his love can change the world. Now, how does that happen? Well, it happens when we partner with God and his Holy Spirit in us. We partner with him to love the people that he created to be loved. And remember, who's created in the image of God? Everybody. So just kind of open our minds and go, all right, let's go back to 1 John 4, verse 7. Let us love who? One another. Anybody missing from that? No, let us love one another, every one another. Verse 9, God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. Everyday life, the world. If God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. Verse 12, if we love one another, his love is perfected in us. You're starting to get the message. We are to love one another. Right, awesome, good. Verse 14, we have seen and testify, we're talking about words and action, seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Not just your Savior, not just my Savior, but we're to bring the hope of Jesus to all people. Verse 17, as he is, so also are we in this world. New International Version says, in this world, we are like Jesus. I love that. Jesus, you talk about wave maker. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar, for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, verse 21, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So to make waves, to change the world, to love each other. We get together, we sing songs. How many of y'all love God? You've said that this morning. You've prayed that this morning. You love God? You love God. Raise your hand if you love God. All right. Yeah, you absolutely love God. All right. That means we love one another and we love the people in our world that God loves too. Especially if you call yourself a Christ follower. I love how Ruth Haley Barton says it in her book, Sacred Rhythms. She says, love is the deepest calling of the Christian life. It's the standard by which everything about our lives is measured. The Apostle Paul would agree. 1 Corinthians 13, maybe you've read it. It's called the love chapter a lot of places. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envy. You know that verse. And then at the end, he says, there's faith, there's hope, and there's love. But the greatest of these is love. Right? He says, of all the gifts, you got to have all the gifts, make all the noise you want. But without love means nothing. So in every important decision we make in our everyday life, we should be asking this question. What does love mean? What does love call for in this moment? What does love call for in this moment? What does love call for me to say in this moment? How will I speak? What words will I say? Take a deep breath before you speak and ask that question. What would love say right now? What would love do? In this moment, how would love give in this moment? How would love serve others in this moment? What would love do? I know it's hard. I don't say love hurts for nothing. It's difficult. It's time consuming. A lot of times it is inconvenient. We know that. You don't have to tell Jesus that. Love is inconvenient and love hurts. Because Jesus went to the cross for you and me out of love for us. We cannot do it in our own power. We cannot do it on our own agenda. God must take the lead. We must walk in his spirit. We must surrender and see the world through his eyes and value what God values. And as Barton says, to follow God passionately into love, even if it takes us all the way to the cross. This is the way that was taught and modeled by Jesus. What did Jesus say was the greatest commandment of all? When he was asked that question, Matthew 22, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I don't think Jesus could have been any clearer. Love God, love others, love yourself. This command is quoted 8 times in Scripture. The Apostle Paul quotes it 9 verses before the fruit of the Spirit passage that we read earlier. Galatians 5:14, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So how can we love our neighbors? How can we love ourselves like God does? I want you to stop and think about this week. Meditate on it. Read the story of the Good Samaritan. Find out who your neighbors are around you in your life and do the next best thing. The answer, if you want the world to change, is to be the change. You be the change. You be the loving one. You be the loving one at work when everything's going crazy. You be the loving one in your household when no one's sure what to do next. You be the loving one in your neighborhood, reaching across the fence, bringing the cookies, saying the kind word when you're walking here, whatever it might be, you be the loving one. We can't do it on our own. That's why John says, verse 13, remember, we live in him and he lives in us and he has given us his spirit. That's where we need to start, at living the fruit of the spirit. That's great practical stuff. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You know this. You can bear the fruit of God's Spirit in your life. You and I can make waves and change the world around us by being the loving one, by being the joyful one, by being the peaceful one, by being the patient one. You want to see waves being made. No matter where we are. And I got to take a second, just praise God, because the fruit of the Spirit is alive and well here at CCW. We see it around us. I hope you see it. I hope you're experiencing it in your life. In fact, in my men's mentoring group, we're in a covenant group together. Just to call a couple of these guys out, I am inspired by seeing them live out God's love in action. They're men and women, these guys are just like you guys. That because God first loved them, because God saved them, because God lives in them, they are now seeing God change lives around them with their neighbors, with their families. They love others in ways that are changing the world around them. Bruce, Katie, they make rounds through Pasco and Hernando and Citrus County to our homeless community, passing out food and blankets. Giving out invitations, not just to church, but to a seat around their table at their house. They work with alcoholics, people that God loves, and they're loving them too. And Chris and David, who you met on the video earlier, and David, inspired to see how in your place of employment, as managers, as business owners, as employees, through first-class customer service, you're loving your neighbors. You're sharing the gospel with them. You're praying for them. You care about our community. I hear the stories. I hope you're hearing these stories too. Daryl, man, your neighborhood in High Point. Guy makes meals for his neighbors. Reaches out to them. Whatever he can do to serve them. He is the pastor to the people he lives around. Some of y'all that come into ministry here at CCW on Friday nights for Upward Bound, and I look at how you're serving the special needs community, not just here on campus, but in our I could go on and on and on. Last Memorial Day, a lot of you had parties in your own backyard to invite your neighbors to and to celebrate with, just so you could love on them like Jesus loves them. Over the past few weeks, and I know this is a next step for a lot of us, but over the last couple of weeks, we've taken home baby bottles. I hope you've taken one of those home. You fill it up with money. Those baby bottles are going to a new generation. It's a pregnancy center here in our town, and it's just a way for us to show God's love and bless moms who are in crisis pregnancies right here in our neighborhood. So bring those bottles back by Father's Day if you have them. We've got 20 boxes. I hope they're still there. I'm not even sure, but there's 20 food boxes that were set up in the front hallway here with lists. You can take those home and fill those up and bring them back. This is a way, these stand-in-the-gap food boxes, for us to love and bless the food-challenged people in our own neighborhood. Just the way we're doing this. There's all kinds of other opportunities. I think the best way to make waves starts right at home. Your own kids, grandkids, parents. Grab one of those parent cues out at the Next Step station, back in Expedition Kids and in our base camp. Grab one of those. Bring them home. Share these things with your kids. Talk about them. If you're in a small group, grab a devotional. Talk about these things throughout the week. And begin to in community, make those kind of waves. Look, this is only the beginning. I could sit up here all day and just tell stories. I love these stories. This is the church we are and the church we want to be. And it begins with you and I taking our best next step and reaching out with the love of Jesus. But first, we need to embrace God's love in our life and allow him to change us with his agape love from the inside out. And then, with his love, change the world around us. I'm going to go ahead and ask the band to come. And as we wrap up, I just want to end with a prayer going back to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand with me if you would and pray this prayer with me. I hope you believe in the love of God as much as God believes in his own love. I hope that you believe in the words of God as much as he believes in you living the words of God. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. And this is how you showed your love among us. You sent your one and only Son into the world so that I might live through him. Hear our prayer, God. This is love. Not that I loved you, but that you loved me. And you sent your Son as an atoning sacrifice for my sins. Since you, God, so loved me, I will love my neighbor. I will love my brother and sister. No one has ever seen you, God, but if I love my neighbor, you live in me, and your love is made complete in me. And this is how that I know I live in you and you live in me. You have given me your Spirit. So God, by the power of your Spirit, from the inside out, help me to walk by the Spirit, to know your love and to show the fruit of your love everywhere I go, and make waves that'll truly change the world, the people that I love around me. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.